This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth is the founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com, your go-to source on the internet for the very latest and all the news about Virginia politics. Bob joins us on Monday afternoons to keep us informed and updated about what in the world is going on in the Commonwealth. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Coy. How are you doing?
Very good. I hope you had a good vacation.
Had a fabulous one. We really enjoyed it.
So. Let's get right to it. You were telling me before we went on the air that there is some big news even this afternoon.
Well, I think there's emerging news ready to break, and I think what we're looking for is to see whether or not Creed Deeds has, you might say, found his issue, and is that issue going to be utility rate regulation and maybe even calling for a moratorium on utility rate increases in Virginia. Barney Day has a post up on my site today suggesting that this will be the big issue in the gubernatorial race. And I had heard from some folks prior to Saturday's debate that Deeds might even be thinking about calling for it in the debate. During the debate, his camp put out a set of email releases suggesting that Bob McDonnell, as Attorney General, had approved any number of rate increases by the utility companies. And it really seems to me that this is coming fairly quickly as a potential issue that Deeds might want to draw some distinction between him and McDonnell on.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. So if I hear you right, not transportation, education, jobs, rest stops, but utility rates.
Well, I don't, you know, what's happened, Coy, is that there are a set of rate increases that have been put in by both Dominion and Appalachian Power. And what it's done, particularly in southwest Virginia, is that it's sort of this kindled this prairie fire out there right now. It's been covered by a reporter in the Roanoke Times pretty extensively for the last couple of weeks, but they've had some public hearings out there. Those public hearings were highly contentious and highly adversarial in terms of what people were saying about the rate increases. Legislators from out that way have been very concerned about it, and they're suggesting to Deeds that this is kind of a very good populist issue. Deeds has, in a number of instances, suggested that the SEC not approve the rate increases that are being brought in front of them. That's been, I think, slightly disingenuous because of the fact that over the past 10 years, the legislature has in some ways handcuffed the ability of the SEC to disprove rate increases. That if you went back to the pre-1999 rules, the State Corporation Commission could have done that. Very difficult for them to do that right now. But my sense is that if the Democrats are looking to try to find a populist issue in which they can make an appeal during a recessionary period, this might be one that they're gravitating towards.
And if Deeds gets on it first, it's going to be very challenging for Bob McDonnell to stand against I'm the guy for rate increases.
Well, I mean, the dilemma there and why I think there are a lot of people who are advising Deeds who think that this is a good issue is that in a number of ways, the Office of Consumer Counsel right now is located in the AG's office. And the Office of Consumer Counsel has, at least implicitly, approved a number of the rate increases that have come before the legislature and the SEC. So there's an opportunity that the Deeds folks think that they may actually be able to take a shot at McDonnell at the same time that they're making this populist appeal.
Amazing. It's fascinating. Now, and has Bob McDonnell found his issue, you think?
Well, I think Bob McDonnell's found a number of ones, and I think part of the urgency on this utility rate regulation or moratorium that's coming forward is a sense that Bob McDonnell did pretty well at the debate Saturday. There are a lot of people felt that he was the aggressor, that he pushed Deeds on a number of issues such as the car check, cap and trade, that he was first to the rest stop issue and pointing out the absurdity of closing 18 rest stops in Virginia. And there's been a lot of concern in the Democratic camp that they've been getting sort of beaten to the punch, you might say, on issue after issue by Bob McDonnell. And there are a lot of Democrats right now who want to find a way to begin to put McDonald a little bit on the defensive, because they think in so many ways Deeds has been thrown on the defensive here. The debate the other day, Deeds was very reluctant to describe himself any longer as a Warner Cain Democrat, was far more calling himself a Mark Warner Democrat, given some of the problems that Governor Cain's run into over the last month.
Interesting. We're talking with Bob Holdsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And Bob, I'm looking at that article on the website there at VirginiaTomorrow.com talking about utility rates. This is this isn't your run-of-the-mill normal utility hike. I mean, it says here that some residential customers could be looking at a 76% increase in their utility rates over the next 17 months if this is all approved.
Martin O'Malley in Maryland got elected essentially on this issue, Coy. Now, I think that Virginia has been for many, many years a low-cost state in terms of power and utility rates, and even with increases, I think we're going to be lower than most states around the country. But the fact is that this is an issue that can really impact people. It's, as Deed said the other day, it's an issue you talk about in the kitchen tables in Virginia, not over the, you're not simply debating in the halls of Congress. And I think it's consistent with Deed's own, what you might say, populist leanings, running this kind of Henry Howell campaign, who never was elected governor but came pretty close, running a liberal populist campaign against Dominion power in the 1970s.
Well, and then Gilmore, of course, ran the no car tax, which was a populist message. Send me to Richmond and I'm going to get rid of one of the taxes against you and help keep more money in your pocketbook and more money in your bank account. This could be this kind of issue for,
well,
for Cree Deeds.
I think Deeds needs one. I think this notion that you could run a, what I call a fairly complacent campaign, saying that you would simply be the third term of Warner Cain, I don't think it's going to sell this year. I think there's too much anxiety out there. There's too much uncertainty. People want somebody who is going to propose concrete solutions to their problems. I don't know if at the end of the day, calling for a moratorium on utility rates will be that, extraordinarily popular, but there are a lot of Democrats who feel that it might be, and that it might give them an issue in which they can kind of energize Democrats, which they're very concerned about right now, that the Republicans are out there every weekend knocking on doors, and the Democratic base doesn't seem to be as energized by this campaign as it might be.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. He joins us on Monday afternoons to talk a little Virginia politics. And the phone lines are open at 977-1070. If you have a question or a comment and want to join this conversation, it's a local call. Pick up the phone and give us a ring. Bob, what are your thoughts about the news that was announced today from Virgil Goode that he would not seek a rematch against Tom Perriello?
I don't think that was very surprising to a lot of people who had been speaking with Virgil and who had seen him since the campaign. What it does do, I think, is that it opens up the door to any Republican who may be thinking of running. Because here's the point. Perriello ran a great campaign to get elected. Since he's been elected, he's been going around the district, being very visible, trying to provide excellent constituent service. He's doing all the right things, you might say, for a first-term congressman who would like to get reelected. On the other hand, there are many Republicans who believe that Perriello was primarily elected because of the Obama surge, and that he's an incumbent who could potentially be vulnerable. Whether you believe that or not, it is true that incumbents, congressmen, are most vulnerable in their first and second terms. If you don't beat them at that point, they're likely to be entrenched and very difficult to dislodge from their seats after that. So my sense is that for any Republican in this whole entire district who's thinking of running for Congress, this is the time when they have to do it. Because if they don't do it now, they're going to be very, very, sorry. Because what will happen is they may never get that opportunity again.
Yeah, and you
so
can
for
be
a lot of people, this is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. They either have to seize it, or they're going to have to forget about going to Congress.
And, Bob, you know there were a lot of calls being made today once they got the official word.
My sense is that the House Whip, Minority Whip, Republican Eric Cantor from Virginia that his phone must have been just going off the hook, and he was probably reading a lot of BlackBerry messages from people seeking his quote-unquote guidance on the matter.
Right, right. I guess one obvious potential nominee would be State Senator Robert Hurt from Chatham down there in Southside, who's very popular Southside, arguably a bit of a moderate Republican.
Well, I think there are probably a number of delegates who are looking at this race and thinking, you know, this is the chance. They're going to be looking at this district. They're going to be saying, where are the majority of votes? Who's the candidate who could look at this? You know, Robert Hurt's a young guy. He's, you know, a very impressive guy. He would be a strong candidate. Some people have even mentioned the former Times-Dispatch editorial writer, now working at UVA, Cordell Falk. And I think we're going to hear a number of other names mentioned prior to that the time when we're going to get a nominee against Perry Allen.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And before we leave that topic, how do you think Tom Perriello wins again?
Well, I think he wins again by continuing to do exactly what he's been doing, being very visible in the district, showing people in the district that he really cares about their needs, working the stimulus package to try to find ways to bring dollars to some of the more disadvantaged and economically distressed parts of the district. And being very visible. That's how a lot of congressmen win. They may get elected the first time for one reason, but they get reelected because they work hard and people respect what they're trying to do for their district. That's, I think, Tom Perriello's ticket back to Washington. And a lot of Republicans who are watching him know that he's working this district very hard, and if they don't find a way to defeat him right away, he's not going to be a candidate very easy to defeat. He has this wonderful framework of servant leadership that he has managed to, I think, turn into a very distinctive form of congressional service.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. He joins us every Monday afternoon to talk a little Commonwealth politics. If we can, let's return to the governor's race here between Bob McDonnell and Creed Eads. Bob McDonnell got a pretty big endorsement recently when Sheila Johnson, co-founder of the Black Entertainment Network, came out in support of Bob McDonnell, which was a big surprise to a lot of Democrats because she really has...
gave $600,000 to Tim Kaine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's given most of her money and most of her support in the past to Democrats. So what's going on?
Well, I think a lot of Democrats are asking about that, and I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing some urgency about finding a distinctive issue for the Deeds campaign. I think that was a blow for Deeds, obviously, not being able to get Johnson's money. But I think it was a signal about some discontent about Tim Kaine. You know, why would Tim Kaine, one of his two largest supporters, decide to endorse Bob McDonnell? It may also talk a little bit about some of the disgruntlement that may exist even about Barack Obama. But my sense is that it was a shocking endorsement. Creed Deeds had 8 wonderful endorsements of his own last week. He got 8 Republican former legislators or delegates to endorse him. And the question becomes, what's more important, 8 Republicans for Deeds or Sheila Johnson for Bob McDonnell? That's not an easy question to answer, Coy.
Because Creed Deeds had 8 former Republican delegates and senators come out in support of his candidacy.
And
that'll
be a good campaign commercial, won't it, when you're talking about your moderate appeal and your ability to work across party lines, to have 8 people who were elected officials of the other party on your side? Not bad, huh?
We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, what's all this about Bob McDonnell and the speed limit in Virginia?
Well, that was a little hidden part of that transportation plan that no one has really spoken about, but I think is going to serve McDonnell well. What he said is that what he'd like to do on certain selected highways in certain parts of Virginia is to raise the speed limit from 65 to 70 miles an hour. And I'd just gotten back from vacationing myself in South Carolina and Georgia, and I've driven down in Florida recently, where they do have 70-mile-an-hour limits. I think a lot of people who leave Virginia and get on the road and go south are wondering why Virginia's limit is 65 when all these other states have 70. Now, I don't think this is going to do one single thing to relieve congestion in Virginia or to deal with the large-scale transportation problems. But in terms of giving McDonnell an identity as the guy who you know, wants to reopen the rest stops and let us go 70 miles an hour, I think with a lot of ordinary voters, these aren't bad things to represent.
Yeah. Update us about I'm assuming it's the final chapter in the Governor Kane travel log saga between he and Anita Kumar of the Washington Post. Is that story done now?
Yeah, they reached a decision. Kane conceded. At least the governor conceded that he would provide some bare bones travel schedules or travel itinerary, and that he's no longer going to try to keep it private what he's doing for the DNC. To be frank, Coy, I don't know why he got into this fight in the first place. It was a loser from the get-go. You're not going to take on the Washington Post and many of the other prominent newspapers in Virginia on an issue of open government and transparency and win. A person very close to the governor told me once, well, you know, we're going to fight this because the only people who care about it is the Washington Post. And I thought, well, that's a pretty big individual or institution to care. and why would you fight them on this matter? And the other thing that happened is that there was a Rasmussen poll out that showed that a plurality of Virginians really aren't very appreciative of the governor doing the second job as DNC chair anyway. And so this has actually altered the political landscape in Virginia a little bit, made it much more difficult for Cree Deeds to run simply as a Tim Kaine Democrat. Deeds has already distanced himself from Kaine on both the rest stops and these open disclosure issues, and we'll have to see how he does as, if he continues to do this as we go on. But I was really pretty stunned by the fact that the governor's office dug its heels in on an issue where I didn't think they had a chance to prevail in the long term.
Bob Holdsworth is the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Must reading for anyone who wants to stay informed about what's going on in the world of Virginia politics. Bob joins us every Monday afternoon. Bob, thanks so much. Have a great week.
Always great to be with you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.